Hey, everybody, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. In my guide, Creating Walkaway Wealth, I outline the five mistakes to avoid when trying to create walkaway wealth. Today, I'm going to be beginning a four-part series to start outlining those components, starting with equity compensation. So if you own restricted stock units or stock options or any other type of equity incentive compensation, you'll want to stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey everybody, this is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we are helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast, where we take the red pill every week to leave the matrix of the average to help you live a life full of margin and all those things that you like to do with financial certainty around financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. So want to thank all my repeat viewers and listeners for tuning in today. And if you're new, strap in, because we got a new series, four-part series that I'm beginning today. Should be really, really exciting. I'm happy to do this and happy to kind of unpack some of the things that I talk about in this guide, which is a free giveaway if you stay tuned to the end. But let's talk about what we're going to do over the next few episodes. So obviously I'm in the, or maybe not so obviously, I'm in the wealth management space, and I talk to a lot of prospective clients. And a theme that I had been hearing, especially for the space that I target, which are medical sales professionals, they had this term called walkaway wealth, which my definition of that, along with what they were saying, is just the ability to be able to have enough margin in your life when it's time to hang it up and you're ready to move on to a life where you're not dependent upon an employer for a paycheck, that you have enough wealth stored to have that life of your dream, that future lifestyle. So no matter your walk of life, I think this is applicable whether you're in medical sales or not, because it's principles based. It's not very specific to that that vocation necessarily. So you can apply these strategies across that. However, the guide I produced was specifically for them. So I'm going to give you access to that towards the end of this program. I want to walk through some of the things that I feel are strategies for different components of wealth building. So today we're going to do equity compensation. Then we're going to do retirement plans, specifically 401ks, you know, 403bs, 457s, those things like that, that are more, let's call it plain vanilla. And then we're going to do pensions. And then we're going to do employer benefits as a whole. So the next 4 weeks, that's what you have. We can just break down all the ways that you can get compensated by your employer and give you some strategies to build wealth so that when you get to the point of walkaway wealth, you're ready to go. So so that's the definition of walkaway wealth. I think everybody kind of gets where we're going with that. Let's talk about equity compensation. So broadly speaking, equity compensation is going to be something over and above what you're getting in a qualified plan. And I'm going to throw out some terms here, but I'm going to do my best to define these and squeeze this all in a reasonable amount of time. So pray for me. equity compensation would be defined in most cases as non-qualified compensation or non-qualified plans, meaning that there's probably no taxable or no tax benefit that you get for participating in this plan. It's usually above the compensation limits that the IRS designates that move every year, as far as covered compensation and things of that nature, that can go into a qualified plan. So that's a little bit out of the scope of what we're talking about. But just so you know, there's a line down the middle that one side is qualified and the other side is non-qualified. And equity compensation typically falls in the non-qualified part. Now, what type of plans are we talking about? And specifically, what are we going to talk about today? Because there's a ton of them, and I can't go into all of them. But specifically, if you get like restricted stock units or stock appreciation rights, or you're part of some type of stock bonus plan where you're getting stock of the employer, that is given to you as compensation, that would be one bucket. Another one may be options in the form of specifically non-qualified options, but you can have also incentive stock options, which that gets into whole AMT and things like that. I'm not going to go into all that today because that gets really complicated also. But let's say you get the non-qualified or NSOs stock options, meaning that you basically get stock granted to you at, say, price of 10 and on today. And after you vest, after a certain period, different companies are, you know, have different vesting periods, you are able to exercise that stock at the current price. And usually the difference between where you exercise the strike and where you were granted, that income becomes W-2 income, ordinary taxes, and you have to pay ordinary income tax on that. So that's another area. And then there could be deferred comp. Don't think I'm going to have time to go into that today, but deferred comp works pretty much like a 401k, except for it's not qualified. So let's talk about the strategies that I think you can take advantage of when it comes to receiving this type of compensation. And I'm going to walk through an example in just a second. I'll bring over the screens to walk through an example I created. But the first one is avoid the extra 6.2 to be exact of percent of Social Security tax. So the way that things work is your compensation up into for 2018 up into $128,000, $128,400, I believe, will be taxed at the you'll get Social Security tax. You'll have Medicare. You may even have state withholding, but you're going to have federal withholding. You're going to have at least those three. Up until 128.4. After you get to 128.401, you get no more Social Security tax. That's the ceiling on it. So it benefits you if you want to put a little bit more take-home pay in your pocket, which most people do, to wait till after you have hit that ceiling before you start exercising or cashing in, if you will, on your equity compensation. Just puts more money in your pocket. It's not going to terribly change your tax picture for the most part, but from a strategic standpoint, you know, let's say that you're at 125 at of year-to-date comp. Well, if you exercise some stock options that bring in another $5,000, you're going to get taxed on all of that up into that ceiling. But if you wait, you avoid that tax and you put more money in your pocket, which basically helps you with the true up. The true-up function of what total is withheld from a federal tax standpoint and what you actually owe when you true up your taxes, you know, the following April or May or whenever you do your taxes. So that's just one little strategy that I've used with my clients that, like I said, gives them a little bit extra take-home pay, which could, depending on how much money you make and how much you're exercising, could be pretty significant, several hundred dollars to several thousand dollars of extra take-home pay, given that proper tax planning strategy. So that is that. Don't want to belabor that point, but if you want more information on any of this, schedule an appointment with me, 214-699-7599, extension 1. Be happy to kind of cover some of the stuff that is pertinent to you. Number two would be another strategy would don't over-accumulate or don't accumulate over-concentrated positions. And what I mean by that is you're getting a lot of compensation and a lot of your net worth may be tied up in the employer you work for. So let's say you get a salary from them, you get benefits from them, like medical benefits, health care benefits. You own some of their stock in your 401k. And you also start to get equity compensation and maybe you even have a pension. That is a lot of eggs in one basket, to be quite honest. And what you want to do is form what I call or implement is an exercise schedule. So what that looks like, and I promised you an example on the Social Security. So just for sake of time and brevity, if you email me, I will send you the example. I may not have time to walk through it. I just thought about that as I'm still talking. But the over concentrated positions, you want to create an exercise schedule, which basically allows you to take the average price of a stock and all the options or RSUs or whatever types of equity compensation you own, and create an average price, an exercise schedule that allows you to exercise or dispose of, cash in on those equity positions over time. A lot of benefits from that save you on taxes. Also, they obviously let you get the what I would call the best average price over time, rather than trying to do it in one big fell swoop that gives you a big tax bill in 1 year and maybe, you know, you're trying to offset that for years to come. Rather than doing that, you kind of plan in advance and go ahead and get you what is called, like I said, an exercise schedule. I've done that a lot for my clients that have RSUs or stock options and we're wanting to minimize their tax burden. Okay. What I would say that goes along with this is something I definitely want to go over is the wealth allocation framework. So I've talked about this before. This is work that's been done by Ashvin Chhabra. He ran money at Merrill Lynch for a very long time. And let me pull over my screen for you. And what you want to just kind of consider, all right, here we go. So over a period of time, what's going to happen is your net worth is going to be really divided into three buckets. And this is where I think some of his seminal work in this really comes home, because you have money that is set aside for a rainy day. That's your essential money. And that could be your cash and money market funds. Then you have the money that is in your, let's call it the important bucket. It needs to earn more than inflation. And I've talked about this before. And then you have your aspirational bucket that, you know, if this stuff pays off, you do really well. It could be something like cryptocurrency or marijuana stocks or concentrated employer stock and things like that. But the thing is you want to have those in proportion to your net worth, right? So in this example here, which you may or may not be able to see all of it, unfortunately, let's see if I can make my screen just a little bit bigger. All right. So what I've done is I've given you an example here of how I would look at a particular situation for a client. Let's say they got almost $300,000 in cash. Their net worth, their assets is about, I'm sorry, their assets, not net worth, but their assets is about $1.6 million in change. So that's about 17% of their net worth. Now, typically speaking, if you're looking at Ashvin's framework, which is in the Aspirational Investor, you can go get this book off of Amazon. It's a really good read. 10 to 15% of your net worth is about normal across age groups, really. And then you would want money that is designed to help you retire or secure your future lifestyle. You would want that to be somewhere between 50 to 80% of your net worth. And so in this regard, they've got about 60. They've got a company 401k that they got a lot of assets in, and then maybe they got a rollover. So they're almost approaching $1 million there. But then let's look at this last bucket, the aspirational bucket. This is money that you can afford to lose if this does not pay off. And so you need to be thinking about it in that way. Typically speaking, I usually put more growth of aggressive stocks or employer stocks in this bucket. I categorize it here. By definition, this should be no more than 15% of your net worth. I have 10% on this spreadsheet, but somewhere between 10 and 15%, no more than your net worth. Because again, this is money that you can afford to lose. So for instance, if they had cryptocurrency valued at $100,000 before December of 2017, they can see that they've probably lost 60% of their money to this point. So this needs to be something that does not go past that 15% threshold. But if you look at it holistically this way, it helps you start to plan for, you know, how you want your future lifestyle to look and what components of your wealth are driving that. And that's just a part of good planning. You should just do that regardless. So that's where I'm going with having an exercise schedule that will hopefully alleviate over concentrated positions. Okay, so let's move on. I just want to give you some last minute other considerations here. So and those could be things around, because you may be thinking, so Dominique, you haven't really covered any of this stuff that I have. I'm a part of employer stock ownership plan, like an ESOP, or I have a stock bonus plan, and I need to decide how much I need to sell, or, and, you know, I've got what is called NUA or net unrealized appreciation, and I need to decide what stocks to roll into. Those are all really great points. I just can't cover everything today, unfortunately, because it, with that particular situation, you're going to have to really sit down with somebody like myself, your CPA, a team, hopefully, that you have in place to determine the level of taxation, whether your age benefits you right now to take that big lump sum of NUA and roll it into some other stock or pay the taxes on that. Another thing to be kind of considering, if you get, you know, maybe you work in the biotech space or medical startup space, so you get a lot of equity compensation, you can file an 83B election. And this is just, I'm just throwing out some strategies here, kind of like in our, what we call it, our lightning round. 83B election will allow you to pay tax on the grant immediately, as long as you're doing within, I think, 30 days. This will basically defer all your gains into the long-term gain bucket instead of the short-term gain / ordinary income bucket. So you can read about that if you want, or just give me a call, 214-699-7599, extension 1. Happy to go over that with you. Some of these are a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more complex, and they're outside the scope of just how to maximize wealth. But just to kind of put a round bow or a big bow on this, you want to avoid exercising or disposing, cashing in on equity compensation before you reach the Social Security tax threshold. It's better to pocket more money, obviously. So more take-home pay is always a better thing. Wait till after you reach that 128.4 before you start doing stuff. That's one thing you could do. And over the course of you accumulating employer stock, you want to think about putting into place an exercise schedule that follows that wealth allocation framework that I talked about, so that you're exercising stock in intervals and you're getting the best price of the company's stock. Somebody can kind of look at the average stock price for you, an investment professional, to make sure that we're maximizing that. Maybe during, let's say, for instance, if you're part of a employer stock purchase plan, you may have these open enrollment periods of January and July. They usually happen every 6 months, or May and November. Anyways, the point being that you probably see big spikes in the stock price around that time. That may be a good time to implement your exercise schedule. So things like that can all be handled with a great financial plan that kind of considers what you're trying to build over time and build that margin that we were talking about at the top of the program. And all this, I would say, eventually, and is designed to help you pay less taxes overall, because the more you make, it's even more incumbent upon you to make sure you don't pay more than your fair share, because people give a lot of money away with bad tax planning. And that happens throughout the year based on your particular situation. So you don't have to be afraid to get expert advice. It's always better to two heads are better than one, and three heads are better than two. So that's kind of my mantra there. Hopefully this has been helpful for you. So what I would say is, if you have any questions, residual questions on this, obviously hop in the Facebook group, send me an email, info@DJH-capital. I'm sorry, I can't even think of my own email. info@DJH-capital.com. And I will, we can set something up. Or what you can do, you can also go to DJHendersonSR.com. And there you will see a wealth guide. I'm going to put it up. I'll do a couple things. I'll put it up in the show notes. And I'll also put this up I guess the show notes is probably the best place for you to get it. DJHendersonSR.com/wealth-guide. You can download some of the stuff I'm talking about here, and that way you can have the guide to follow along for the 4-part series, which would be nice, right? You can just kind of walk through that and make notes and all this other kind of stuff. So that would be probably the best thing to do, but I'm going to give you some ways to get to that. So that's the free giveaway, is the wealth guide. All you got to do is submit your name and email address, and we'll take care of everything else for you. It'll be delivered right into your email box, and you can peruse at your leisure. So have a great and prosperous day. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.